So what's going on, everybody? This is the Farzy Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Sixers get embarrassed last night. When was it for you? When was it for you when watching that game that you were like, not tonight? When was it for you? When was it for you that the Sixers got news that James Harden would be most likely returning on Monday, so they decided to mail it in against the Cleveland Cavaliers? When was it for you that they really decided that this wasn't going to be a game? Was it? I'm going to go ahead and guess, benefit of the doubt, it was the second quarter, where the Cleveland Cavaliers came up 2 points shy of their franchise all-time record for points in a quarter, where they scored 44 points. I would guess it was somewhere in that realm as to when you knew it wasn't going to be much of a game. For me, exactly, it was about the six-minute mark of the second quarter, where I think it was Caris LeVert who just little crossover right by Joel Embiid, like he wasn't even standing there, laying, boom, done. Made a note of it. It was because I wrote it down like, this is where it's over. 49-32. Is what he made the score with that little driving layup right by Joel Embiid. And I went, not tonight. How much time is left? About 6 minutes in this quarter? Okay. Thanks for the time, boys. And that quarter didn't turn out to be any nicer than really that moment. They ended up getting outscored 44-21 in the second quarter overall. Yeah, not the Sixers night. We'll get into that a little bit. We will get into the news from Sham Sharania regarding James Harden returning to the lineup. And we have our latest Trey Turner watch. Because as I've been saying, since the moment Bryce Harper mentioned his favorite player to watch is Trey Turner in the broadcast booth of the Philadelphia Phillies right before he came off the injured list, I said, Trey Turner's going to be a Philly, isn't he? That's going to happen. And ever since then, the ball has slowly started rolling to Philly's direction for landing the all-star shortstop, Trey Turner, and adding him to this already pretty potent lineup. So I'm all here for it. John Morrissey has talked about it in the past. He talked about it recently with John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia. He was on the MLB Network yesterday talking about it. We'll let you hear what John Morrissey had to say about Trey Turner coming to the Philadelphia Phillies. There's good news surrounding Dallas Goedert for a very much so nearing a return to action for the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll let you hear from A.J. Brown today about all the things he has going on with the Eagles and taking on his former team, how he's feeling. Also, not just how he's feeling literally, but also the fumble-itis, how to cure that as well, and what it means to him to take on the Tennessee Titans. We got all that and more on today's program. And how do I leave it? How do I do it? I left him out. Mike Golic joins the show today. We covered the whole gambit. First off, check this out. Let me just give you this link right now so you guys can see it. It's at the forefront of your minds, okay? All right. Pork Rind Appreciation Day. Pork rind. Now for those that don't eat pork rinds, it is rinds, R-I-N-D. I've talked to a couple of people. It's like, wait, they're not grinds? No, they're pork rinds. All right. Pork Rind Appreciation Day, okay? Check that out. Go to porkrindappreciationday.com, and you'll see all the great stuff Mike Golic's doing, including your chance to win $5,000. So check this out right there, the Great Pigskin Sweepstakes. You can win $5,000, sponsored by Southern Recipe Small Batch. You guys can check that out. You guys can also follow Mike Golic on Twitter for all the social media accounts as well, and see how you can get involved in this and learn how you can help some aging NFL veterans for Gridiron Greats, a foundation founded by Coach Mike Ditka, as a matter of fact. And Mr. Golic joins us on the show today to talk about that great charity he's helping out, that great chance for you to win $5,000, and you can look that up as well, Pork Rind Appreciation Day. I didn't even know it existed, but yet Mike Golic joined the show. Last year he was joining us with some barbecue news. This time around it's pork rinds. So, all right, I'll have one. And we also get into the current state of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason Kelsey's candidacy for the Hall of Fame. Mike also talked about some rumors about him potentially joining a certain radio station here in Philadelphia. So we cover the whole gamut with Mike Golic. He's coming up in just a couple of minutes here on the Farzy Show. Let's get into that Sixers game last night. First, we'll start with this. Here's the news of the day. And it preceded the Sixers game. And I believe, for the Sixers to look that bad in that game, they had to get some news to let him take the foot off the gas just a wee bit. Now, James Harden missed last night his 13th straight game with this foot injury. So Sham Sharani went on the Pat McAfee show earlier in the day to talk about the current status of James Harden. And here's what Sham wowed us with.
In his foot. And I'm told he is targeting a return. They're on a 3-game road trip. He's targeting a return on this road trip. Most likely that final game of the trip next Monday in Houston. So it would be a return
in Houston
of sorts for James Harden.
All right, welcome back.
That's what you're looking at with him with his return Monday, and against who? The Houston Rockets. It's fitting. You can write it up as a beautiful Hollywood script, but regardless, the Sixers will get help on Monday as he returns to the lineup, hopefully. But that's what Sham's putting out there, and I'm sure Sham has his great sources, and I trust it wholeheartedly. They get that news that they're at least going to be getting him back. They've already gotten Joel Embiid back. Now they're going to get James Harden back, and then shortly thereafter, they'll get Tyrese Maxey back, hopefully. But James Harden's going to be back in the lineup on Monday. They get that news, and then they go play the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are a good basketball team. Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert, Garland, all these guys playing great basketball. They laid an egg last night. And there were certain things that took place in the game. I'm not a body language expert by any means, but I think we all know what happens when a guy's flailing his hands in the air. Like, what the hell can I do? And Joel Embiid was one of those guys last night, different times throughout the game where he just put his hands in the air. Like, what the hell can I do with this? Sixers had turnover problems last night. They ended up turning the ball over less than the Cleveland Cavaliers, but especially in that second quarter, just bad turnover after bad turnover after bad turnover. Couldn't keep possession of the ball. They had that one player highlighted earlier with Caris LeVert just driving on Joel Embiid like he wasn't even standing there. There was no communication on the court. There was no fluidity to it. And again, you saw a guy like Joel Embiid just kind of go, like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, the last time I watched a game like that, it was the Eagles against the Commanders. That's the last time I watched a game like that, where there was just nothing your team could do to win the game. And, oh, yeah, all right, hey, make some baskets. Hey, play better defense. Yeah, sure. It just equated to a turnover on the other end, and the Cavaliers would go down the other end of the court, and they'd get to themselves 2 points or three or whatever, or get fouled and go to the line. There was nothing the Sixers could have done in this scenario to help themselves. To this point, even if they did play better, offensively speaking, the Cavaliers shot 96% in that second quarter. There's nothing the Sixers could do to answer that. Nothing. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm upset. I'm going to go ahead and say let's not see that type of basketball again. That'd be great. And James Harden, hurry back, please and thank you. That would be great. It would help us all out tremendously because that was abysmal last night. Oh, baby. That was horrendous. It was nice to see our old friend Serena Winters going around the sidelines there. She's working for the Cavs now. So that was nice. Always nice to see Serena. All right. This is on a much lighter note. Okay. Can we get to the lighter note? Here's the lighter note. Trey Turner will be a Philadelphia Philly. I'm flat out giddy about it because he's the real deal. Does it all. Can hit for pop, play great defense, got a great arm, smart at bats. Like he's everything you need. And the fact that, yes, he's Bryce Harper's buddy, that's a nice little thing too. The fact that you could have an all-star shortstop there, and essentially what you would be doing for the Phillies there is you'd be trading Gene Segura for Trey Turner. Segura most likely not back, already out there in free agency. You would move Stott to second base. Not bad. I see him taking a big step forward in his second year. And then you would have Trey Turner as your shortstop. This lineup's goal is to just have pitchers surrender. All right? You make it back to the World Series. I don't think you're going to get no hit. Let's put it that way. Trey Turner, like I say, could do it all. Hit for average, hit for power, gets on base great, plays great defense, everything, covers every major need the Phillies had. Top of the order guy, you get him. It's not just an impact of what you have in the field. It's also the impact you have in the lineup as to where he would hit in this lineup. For those people that are not very big Rhys Hoskins fans, you'd most likely be dropping him down in the order. Or you could be having a guy like Trey Turner lead off for you and then have Kyle Schwarber hit down in the order. Oh, no, you can't do that. I'll let all the home runs. I would love, look, that power ain't going anywhere. I would love to see men on base for those home runs. And I know most of you would as well. Or you're just going to accept 46 home runs and say, you know what, if that's where he's comfortable hitting, I'm going to leave him at the top. And Rob Thompson might very well do that. But a guy like Trey Turner can certainly change things up in that lineup of yours. You go out and get him. I know the Phillies, who just played in the World Series, which, by the way, when this news came out yesterday, I found myself going, oh, my God, that's right. The Phillies were, like, not that I forgot it, but it was just like the Phillies were in the World Series. Holy what? Now they might go out there. No, excuse me. Now they're going to go out there and they're going to get Trey Turner. There's other reports out there about Dave Dombrowski kind of making it obvious amongst the other general managers, amongst the other presidents of baseball operation. He's making it known to them. One of these free agent shortstops is going to be in a Phillies uniform come spring training. Don't you worry about it. Or shortly after spring training starts, as it seems to go now with free agency. So for me, I am wildly excited about what the future holds for the Philadelphia Phillies. And yes, I do think it's going to be Trey Turner playing for the Phillies. Now, here's the full, I wanted to give you full context, because the San Francisco Giants could be one of the teams that are knocking on the door of the Philadelphia Phillies, or excuse me, of Trey Turner, and be the biggest competition to the Phillies. So we'll see how it plays out. But John Morrissey went on MLB Network yesterday to talk about how serious Trey Turner to the Phillies really is. Here's John Morrissey.
And his free agent candidacy. We tried to draw a connection to the Phillies really early this free agent offseason. Is it as strong as it was then? Could they be considered, I guess, the leaders to sign Trey Turner?
Yes, Matt. I think right now the Phillies are viewed as the favorites. There are other teams involved, certainly, but the fit for Philadelphia is there. They are in a situation where they just made it to the World Series. They might be one player away from being able to win it all in 2023. And Trey Turner, said by many to have a preference to play for a team that trains in Florida, of course, he's a native Floridian, a very close friend of Bryce Harper's, began his career in the National League East with the Nationals, won a World Series championship there with the Nats. You see what a dynamic talent he is, and he is due to get a long-term deal.
You know, guys look like certain teams.
He's, yeah, exactly. You're right. And I'll say this. He is probably headed for an average annual value in excess of $30 million a year. He is headed to that area from a lot of the projections that are out there. And he may still be of interest to the Giants, but I don't think the Giants will sign another position player for $30 million plus a year unless they know if they're going to get Aaron Judge or not. So I think the Giants are involved in the shortstop market, but it's somewhat contingent on what happens with number 99. Whereas for the Phillies, Trey Turner, according to sources, is their top priority.
Oh, man. It really feels like the linchpin to pull everything together. It really does. It's like you bring everything together, and there's like Trey Turner's this pin that goes on the top, and you're like, and we're done. Now, I'd love some more bullpen help. I'd love some more starting pitching. We'd all love that. I honestly think that Zach Eflin will be back with the Phillies. They've coveted him for a while, and I think whatever offer he gets anywhere else, barring the what the hell did you see what they gave Zach Eflin? Barring anything like that, I think he's going to be back with the Phillies. So I think he's still a pretty damn good pitcher when he's healthy to work that in there. But you can always use more bullpen help. You can always use another starting arm and all that stuff. We all know. Let's cross that off the list. Circle that as something we still need to cross off the list there. But Trey Turner is a major step forward for this lineup. Couple that with, and just call it blind optimism, I don't see Nick Castellanos having another horrid power season. I'll take the same like 265 batting average as long as you're giving me 35 home runs. It kind of balances out a little bit more, right? You talk about that. I'll take that. I'll take Kyle Schwarber hitting 40 home runs. Yes, please and thank you. Bryce Harper, you're going to be missing for half a season, it looks like. That's not no bueno. No bueno right there with the Tommy John surgery. But Trey Turner will help keep your head above water here. While you're going through all those struggles, when you're going through the issue you have with Bryce Harper to start things out, but Turner watch continues. I've been looking for little morsels. There's little tiny little crumbs surrounding Trey Turner over the last couple of weeks here. We'll be talking a lot of Eagles and I'm like, I was waiting for the next shoe to drop, the next little clue to drop on the floor to listen to examine closely. Just a little thing. I wasn't expecting one of the lead baseball minds in America to come out on the MLB Network to be like, oh, yeah, he's a favorite to go to the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's more than a crumb. That's more than a morsel. That's a big orange road sign pointing to the Phillies. And we're all here for it, and we're all excited about it. All right, let's talk some Eagles. Eagles play the Titans coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock, Lincoln Financial Field. Going to be brisk. Supposed to be a brisk day. One of the people, one of the people, still so excited about Trey Turner. One of the people that fans, coaches, and Tennessee Titans are going to have their eye on the most is former Tennessee Titan, AJ Brown. Had some fumble issues, had some health issues, violently ill, popped a blood vessel in his eye. You'll see it here. He gets asked about it. During his media session yesterday, they covered the three biggest things right out of the gate. They covered his health. They covered the Titans, taking on the Titans. He downplays it, as you would almost expect him to do. You know, it's big game, but, you know, I got to concentrate on my job here. Good, perfect answer. Good job by AJ Brown. But also talking about his health, his fumble issues, and playing the Titans. Here's AJ Brown on the big three going into this game.
I mean, of course, it means a lot, but you know, I got to be professional about it and, you know, keep my emotions down and, you know, and just play. Like I said, after the game, my job this week is just trying to be as consistent as possible, you know, so regardless of who's playing, that's my focus.
How are you feeling?
A little better, yeah. My eyes kind of getting a little better, I think. But
where's the strength?
The strength?
Yeah, getting the strength back.
Yeah, slowly. Had a good workout today. You know, I've been working out at home, but I'm finding myself getting back to it.
It's kind of been a weird stretch of games here for you. The ankle and the illness and the fumbles. Are you looking forward to just kind of getting back on track with everything?
You know, that's the focus this week. Like I said, of being consistent. You know, like the ankle, that's something I can't control. Me protecting the football, that's something I can control, you know, and I think that's my focus going forward. You know, like I said, I'm not going to change who I am with the ball in my hand, but I got to do a better job protecting the football, you know, so.
All right, away from anything that has to do with sickness, away from anything that has to do with playing the Titans, let's talk about that style of play for a second. I don't mind at all guys fighting for yards as long as you are protecting the football. One of the things that drives me crazy is actually what A.J. Brown did in last Sunday night's game against the Packers when he fumbled. Now, good. You can take – let's highlight everything. Take into account everything. Sickness. He had the fumble issue before against the Colts in Indianapolis. All right, so let's take it. Okay, fine. When he's pushing for more yards against the Packers, this is what drives me crazy. It's when any player does this. It's when they're tied up in one on one player. Know that they're basically killing time for other players to come over there and try to strip the ball. The minute you're making contact with another player, you got to be tucking that ball in and protecting it. This is football 101. He still has that other arm exposed with the football in it. The minute you see that, that ball is vulnerable. That is not, as Nick Sirianni likes to say, ball security. That's not ball security. He's got to have good ball security. And that wasn't good ball security. That was not good awareness. That was a Madden level 12 awareness by A.J. Brown. You can't do that. He's too good a player. He is way too good a player to make a mistake like that. And sure enough, what happened? The Packers came over, punched it out, scooped it up, ran it down the other end, and the rest is history. Won the game. And yes, he was sick. And yes, he popped a blood vessel in his eye. And yes, he wasn't feeling strong. And I get all that, right? But that's just, between the ears, not a smart play. I'm going to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt that this is just a very rare thing for A.J. Brown to have fumbles like that in two consecutive games. And also fumbles when you're really trying to establish yourself in this game. And like be the clear-cut winner of the game, right? They're driving down the field against the Colts, fumble. Driving down the field against the Packers, fumble. They're drive killers. We all know that. The Eagles have been great. One of the main reasons they're 10-1 overall is because they don't turn the football over. Three turnovers in the first eight games of the season. What have they had now? Nine in their last three games? No bueno. No bueno. Let's stay away from that. But A.J. Brown knows that, and I have confidence that that's not going to be a regular mistake for the veteran wide receiver. Coming up in a second, we're going to get to Mike Golic. But first, let me tell you about the great people at Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right here in Philadelphia. When it comes to all your jewelry purchases, trust one man, the man with the perfect price, Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Now, what's the perfect price? I'll tell you what the perfect price is. The perfect price is what Steven provides his customers. Because not only are you going to get treated like family, not only are you going to be walked through everything by a real jewelry expert, but you don't have to worry about haggling and negotiating, or you don't have to worry about the pressure of somebody next to you paying less than you are, somebody getting a better deal than what you're getting at Steven Singer Jewelers, because that's the perfect price. Other jewelers like to mark things way up just to mark it down a couple of bucks in front of you. Make, oh, you're a real good negotiator. All right, you got it. Meanwhile, the other guy next to you, they're still paying full price. Why? Steven's got you at the perfect price each and every day. Beautiful, dazzling diamond earrings, diamond tennis bracelets, diamond necklaces. Diamond stud earrings are just gorgeous. I bought my wife diamond stud earrings first year we were together. Still has them, still loves them. And they're from Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price, the perfect price every day. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. All right, without further ado, let's jump on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line. Doctor, our friend Mike Golick making a second appearance here on the Farzi Show. Let's talk to Mike. It's right now the Rothman Orthopedics guest line. Now, most of you should know this man, not just from his illustrious radio career, but also 5+ years with the Philadelphia Eagles, playing on a defensive line that mentioned some guy named Reggie White. Joining us right now, Mr. Mike Golick joins us. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, I often get confused for Reggie White. It's like, which one was the one of the greatest D linemen of all time, Reggie or me? It's like the Spider-Man meme, you know, just, you know, kind of we look alike. Yeah.
Same. It's so fortunate. The Eagles have both two of you on one of it. It's amazing. Of course, a lot of us have followed your career. You're doing stuff with Westwood One now, DraftKings analyst. You even got your own podcast, your whole family. I know your son, of course, did it on the radio and TV and everything. Your whole family is doing the, is it Sorry Not Sorry podcast? What is it?
It's the Sorry in Advance. Oh. Mets mainly because of my daughter. She's got a bit of a mouth on her. So we're always usually sorry more for her than anything else. But this was my wife's creation that, you know, every couple of weeks, and we, you know, everybody's in different parts of the country. We get everybody together and we just kind of talk about family life and, you know, modern day topics, and it gets a little silly. So, which I'm sure a lot of families are used to. So it's a lot of fun to do.
Well, you look at the Kelce brothers. I mean, they're doing their own podcast and show now as well. It's just whatever makes it work for you guys works for a lot of other people as well. I do want to make sure I mention that, because this is incredible. You're teaming up with Snacks for Snacks as well as Gridiron Greats. And you guys have something special going on to celebrate National Pork Rind Day, Pork Rind Appreciation Day, as a matter of fact. Tell us a little bit about this.
Pork Rind Appreciation Day happens to fall right on the day of the Super Bowl. So Southern Recipe Small Batch has teamed up with the Gridiron Greats, and they're doing like sacks for snacks. You know, so instead of just sacks, we're getting sacks for snacks. So it's very easy, and you can win stuff, which is very cool. If you just go to porkrindappreciationday.com, you enter by picking any team you believe is going to get the most sacks. And then each week, one randomly selected entry wins a case of pork rinds. For every sack their team gets, grand prize is $5,000, which is pretty cool, and a year's supply of pork rinds. And a lot of the money goes to the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund, which I'm on the board of. And basically what that is, you know, there's former players from decades ago don't have the same opportunities as players today when they retire as far as severance and retirement plans and opportunities. So there's a lot of guys, you know, in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that are hurting a little bit from everyday things like mortgage, just going to the dentist, getting the doctors a checkup, just things like that, that we're there to help them with. You know, I spent my life, you know, in football of if my teammate's down, I reach a hand down to help them up, or they reach their hand down and help me up. That's basically what we're doing here. We're assisting them with their everyday needs. And Southern Recipe Small Batch did a great job in teaming up with Gridiron Greats with this great contest to try and continue to help us help those that need it.
Coach Ditka has something to do. Did he start this organization?
Yes. He helped start this organization. And I mean, listen, it's been going great. I've been on the board. We're getting one of our newest board members is Brian Urlacher. So I think it's great to have younger players who are maybe just getting out of the league as well, understand what the older players have done for this league and that they need help. You know, they need help now. So I think the more, you know, us, I'm older, I'm going to be 60, but we can get these 30-something and 40-something former NFL players involved in this as well to understand where this game came from.
What's crazy in getting to know a lot of athletes after their playing career, how much they talk about battling somebody else and, yes, having respect for them, but the minute their playing careers are over, they become their brother or their teammate, even though they never played on the same team. It's a great thing you guys are doing.
Yeah, it really is. At the end of the day, we're all in the same club, right? We're all on the same team. And I know people, I think, naturally think, oh, they're NFL players, they have money. Well, again, a lot of guys, I played in the 80s, so my time and a lot of guys before me, you know, didn't make all that money. Guys before me had to have jobs in the offseason, and they didn't have what players can get today after their work is done. And they're only working for a few years, and then they're out into the real world. So we're just there to lend that helping hand to those who need it.
Now, I understand you were just in Philadelphia. You're covering the Packers game as well for Westwood One. I mean, what are you making of your former team this year sitting here at 10-1?
Well, I mean, they're doing it the way you can win a Super Bowl. You have a good passing game, obviously, but you can run the ball. I mean, this was like a college number. They ran for over 360 yards, which is incredible in the NFL. So they have the ability to run, they have the ability to pass, and their defense is really good. So they have all the ingredients to win, you know, and they lost against Washington a few weeks ago. They had the close game against the Colts before the Green Bay game. So those can be little wake-up calls that say, okay, we're not going to be undefeated. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter what your record is, though you'd love to have that one or two seed so you can get the bye. But the bottom line is get into the tournament at the end. You can't win the Super Bowl if you're not in the playoffs. So they have everything it takes, along with a couple other teams, I think, out there on both sides of the ball to be able to go all the way.
Speaking of, let's talk about one side of the ball, and that's the defensive side of the ball. Fletcher Cox got a lot of help. Javon Hargrave was already here, but then Howie Roseman went out and got Ndamukong Suh. He went over and got Linville Joseph. And I just want to make sure, you did not get a call, right? I just want to confirm this report. You did not get a call to play defensive tackle for the Eagles, right?
The only call I would have gotten was for Howard to say, hey, Mike, what do you think of these guys we're bringing in? Because I could, you know, every player, no matter when they retire, would love to go back and play a game. We all retire because we don't want to go through February to August, all the work it takes to prepare for the next year. We all love game day. I'd love to suit up on game day, but there would be probably two plays. The first play, I would get destroyed. And then if I stayed in there on the second play, they have to take me off on a stretcher. So no, I was not called in for that. Okay. But they are doing kind of, you look at what the Rams did. Now the Eagles aren't giving up as many draft picks as the Rams did. They did trade for Robert Quinn though, but they're pushing all their chips in and saying, look at these guys. They're all, you know, been in the league for a long time. They can really help against the run, which has been a little issue for the Eagles. So they're trying to set themselves up as best they can to win the Super Bowl.
They got Saquon Barkley two times still left in the season. They got to face the Cowboys again. And now this week they got Derrick Henry coming up. Not exactly easy to stop that guy. Do you think they have enough right there to at least make that, you know, a competitive match?
I mean, how much more can you get? I mean, this is what, you know, they say no one's walking through the door anymore. The one great thing I'll say is, though, the trade deadline in the NFL used to just be a date where nothing happened. Now, I think GMs are younger and they're understanding the value, and we see immediate impact. Christian McCaffrey goes to the 49ers, immediate impact. TJ Hockenson goes from Detroit to Minnesota, the tight end, immediate impact. So you can get that immediate impact with the trade deadline. So I think that's a lot bigger in the NFL now. So your team is set with what you have, so they better be able to do it. I mean, because this is what they have. There can be no more real major changes. So the team they have has got to be the team that can get it done on the field.
Certainly. Now to flip to the offensive side, two guys I have to ask you about. One is Jason Kelce. I know a lot of people here in Philadelphia look at him and go, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. There's no question the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. What have you made of Jason Kelce's career?
So Jason, it was funny too. It just goes to show how I'm about to turn 60. I was at the game and I was on the field, and I love being on the field before the game, talked to coaches and some players. And I was down where the Eagles O-line was, and they were getting ready to start the warm-up. And Jason comes up to me and says, hey, how you doing, Mr. Golic? And I'm like, Mr. Golic? I'm like, that's very nice of you. Because when I did a Kansas City game, his brother Travis did the same thing. He came up to me and he said, hey, Mr. Golic, how you doing? I'm like, you guys are very respectful, but I feel very, very old that you're doing it. What can you say about this guy? I mean, he's, as I said on the broadcast, he's listed at 295. There's no way he's 295. He probably finishes the season in the 70s. because you just naturally lose weight. He plays, you know, at the end of the season, he's usually held together by, you know, duct tape and chicken wire, but he doesn't come out of the game. And he, think of the record he just broke, 170 games on the O-line. It's the most ever. And he broke Chuck Bednarik's record. Is there a tougher guy who played in the NFL than Chuck Bednarik? But right there is Jason Kelce. So it's not surprising that those are the top two guys for the amount of games you play in the O-line in Eagles history. So he is remarkable. He plays with such kind of viciousness and intensity, but he's technically so very sound. So it's really incredible what he's doing.
I do want to ask you about an MVP candidate that at least I believe is an MVP candidate in Jalen Hurts. I've racked my brain to try to think of anybody that's taken that big a jump in year two as a starter in the NFL than what Jalen Hurts has done this year. What have you made of his season?
It's the one that probably has, quite honestly, is we were talking really about two guys before the season as far as would they be the quarterback of the future of their team, and it was Jalen and Tua. Tua has taken a monster step as well. You know, remember we all kind of chuckled when Tyreek Hill got traded there and said, Tua is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. We're like, all right, slow your roll, Tyreek. I know he's your quarterback, but you're trying to build him up. But Tua's been phenomenal. When you lead the league in passer rating, that's pretty damn good. So both these guys have solidified themselves. And once you get that, once you get that situation where it's your team, now everything is built around you. Game plans, players you're bringing in is all built around your skill set. That's what you need to do in the NFL right now. And the teams that take, like early on in Chicago, they were not building around, or they weren't using the skill set of a Justin Fields. And you're banging your head into the wall going, why the hell aren't you using this guy's talent? They're starting to do a little more. Well, they're doing it with Jalen. They're doing it with Tua. And they're producing. I mean, to have your quarterback, the threat of a run on a counter, running with a quarterback, or options or zones with your quarterback running the ball is incredible. And then they bring in an A.J. Brown who's having a monster year. You have a Devontae Smith. I know Goddard's hurt right now, but they went out and got him weapons, and he's using them to the best of his ability. So he's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. One guy that I know a lot of people had doubts surrounding, especially at his now infamous introductory press conference, is Nick Sirianni. And really, ever since then, the guy has just gotten better as a head coach, better as a communicator, better as a leader, better as a motivator. It's hard to track guys that started out kind of with low expectations the way he did and then taking this team to a 10-1 record.
So the hardest thing you do, especially with a new head coach and then especially with a young head coach, is buying into what he's selling, right? Because he hasn't sold a lot, right? Doesn't have a lot of the pedigree of being a head coach for a long time. So especially for veterans on that team, are we going to buy what he's selling? And when you get that cohesiveness of buying into it, and then you see it work on the field, that just builds your confidence that what he's doing, you know, is the right way. But man, he's an emotional guy. You saw him after that Colts game, because Frank Reich was such a good friend of his. And in that game against Green Bay, when some of the Packer players were hurt on the field on long drives and the fans started booing, and Nick was thinking they were doing that on purpose, which they might have been. Hell, we did it, you know, way back when. If we needed a break, you stay down, act like you got a cramp. Who's going to prove you didn't? But Nick is looking over at LaFleur and yelling at him. I mean, he is an emotional dude without question. So you wonder over time if that will you know, tamper down a little bit. But players got to love it. The players know he has their back. So it's been a great situation.
My last thing for you, I know now this is, I was kidding about the defensive tackle stuff, but I'm serious about this. There were reports, there were rumors about you possibly coming to Philadelphia in more of a long-term basis to talk to us on the radio. I know people love your brilliance surrounding their teams every day. Was there any truth to that? Any knocks on the door, anything like that about you coming to Philly in a radio capacity?
There was not. And you know, when I saw that out there, I thought I better jump in here. I don't need that to keep going. No, there was not. So I tweeted to whoever, I forgot which media.
Crossing Broad, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, no. I said that's not going to happen. So we can just nip that one in the bud. That would have been interesting. I mean, listen, I grew up when I was playing there. I mean, Angelo Cataldi was doing his thing, and I mean, he did it for a long time. Then I ended up doing it for a long time nationally at ESPN. I loved doing it. I would probably, under the right circumstances, maybe get back into it again. though a 4:15 wake-up call isn't the greatest thing in the world, that I've gotten used to not doing it now, but I certainly would look at every opportunity.
Mike, well, listen, man, any opportunity to listen to you is a great opportunity, so I can at least tell you that. And what you're doing right now, again, with Gridiron Greats is absolutely fantastic. All the work you're doing right there, and of course, right now as well with National Pork Rind Appreciation Day. We'll be sure to put the link on the show so people can check it out and try to win themselves $5,000.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? Everybody could use that.
Nothing wrong at all. Mike Golic joining us right there on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line. Mike, thanks so much. I always enjoy talking to Mike Golic, and I remember we had just started out. We're at like 31 on YouTube. I think we're at 3,100 subs, and then, you know, we get a lot of views on Twitter, and, you know, other, we get downloads and podcast form and all that stuff. For the people on the podcast, thank you so much. Which is great. Mike came on last year when we were basically just starting out, and I'll never forget that. I really appreciate that, and I think he's a great guest. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Great speaker. I feel like a dynamic speaker is a good way to describe him. His story on meeting Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce, them calling him sir, is just hilarious. And him having a sense of humor about his role playing on the Reggie White Philadelphia Eagles. Rest his soul, Reggie White, is funny. And I appreciate his insight. And I didn't even know he was doing color commentary for Westwood One. So that's a way people can enjoy him across the national scene as well. And he was just in town for the Packers-Eagles game. So not too shabby. Great listening to Mike Golic break down the Eagles, his respect for Jalen Hurts. And it is interesting. Like I've seen on social media one of the popular things now, I think it's with Spotify. Wow, I sound like such an old man. You know what the kids are doing these days? It's December. So was it December yet? December 1st. It's the most listened to songs of the year for you, the albums, your top five most listened to stuff. It's like, it made me think, if you could go back to the summer and it would be like the top five sports things said going into this football season in general, I think Mike Golic hit the nail right on the head. Is Tua an accurate enough passer? Does Tua have what it takes? Is Jalen Hurts the guy? It would be like those would be the top things on our playlists of sports terms, sports questions, sports conversation, sports topics. Is Jalen Hurts the guy? Do the Phillies have what it takes to make the World Series? Like it, stuff like that. Joe Girardi sucks. You know what I mean? All this stuff that would be the greatest hits of the summer. If you were to play that now, I think it would be about Tua. I think it would be about Jalen Hurts. I think it would be about Joe Girardi. And that's where we're at when it comes to the Philadelphia sports scene in particular right now. Remove Tua from the conversation. But Jalen Hurts has answered that question to great acclaim by all of us here in Philadelphia. There's a couple outliers. Like there's still, there are always going to be outliers. There's always going to be people that are in the loud minority that want to talk about what everybody else is talking about in a positive way. They're going to find the negative thing to talk about in all of it. Jalen Hurts has provided your team's 10-1 for them. Okay. Your quarterback is top three at worst in the MVP conversation this season. Top three at worst. And people want to find a negative with this. I mean, you could talk about special teams, but your team's 10-1. Your quarterback's in the MVP conversation. Your running back, by the way, so add it up there. Let's just go with Philadelphia sports. All right, let's take two out of the equation. Is Jalen Hurts the guy? Is Joe Girardi going to lead this team to the playoffs, right? And then right after that, you know what else? Is Miles Sanders RB1? Is he running back number one for the Eagles? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Miles Sanders is RB1 for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's having a career year on pace to go well over 1,000 yards. Well over 1,000 yards. I think his projection now is like 1,300. Not too shabby. Drives you crazy. But those would be the greatest hits, the top three things. Top three most put in rotation sports topics. Is Miles Sanders good enough to be another one, number one back? Oh, here's another one. Jonathan Gannon. He got head coaching offers? What? Interviews, maybe, not offers. Jalen Hurts, the guy. Joe Girardi. It's all there. It's all there for you. It's all there. We're all having fun. Now I'm curious to just see what Miles Sanders is actually on pace for. I'm going to go ahead and say that Miles Sanders is on pace, projected, for 1,300 yards. It might even be more than that. But now I'm super curious. It just popped in my head. Not that I like to do live stat checks here. But now that it's rattling around in my brain, 900 yards on the season. Let's do the math here. Provided by ESPN.com. Almost 1,400 yards. Projected now, as ESPN does the projections over the course of the rest of the season. Sorry to mansplain a projection to you. 1,391 yards is what Miles Sanders is on pace for this season. He's never had a 1,000-yard season. His highest, his career high, came in 2020 with 867 yards. He's already at a career high for rushing touchdowns. So as far as that goes, yeah, he's having himself a hell of a year. To get to just under 1,400 yards would be incredible. He is fifth right now. Listen to the running backs. Josh Jacobs, who's been the only real big bright spot for the Raiders. Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders. Those are your top five rushers in the NFL. Not too shabby, once again. So that's what you're looking at right now when it comes to the Eagles running game. So there you go. Once again, my thanks to Mike Golick. And just to show you guys this one more time, porkrindappreciationday.com. Make sure you guys check that out for the pork rind. Great pigskin sweepstakes. Sacks. Snacks for sacks. And you can check out Mike Golick on Twitter as well. Let me tell you about the great people at Manscaped right now, ladies and gentlemen. The great people at Manscaped. Because, fellas, you want to look good everywhere, right? Well, the Platinum Package 4.0 has entered the conversation. It's Manscaped's biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet. It includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. It includes the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And it all comes with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Plus, the Ultra Premium Body Wash 2-in-1 Shampoo, Conditioner, Deodorant, Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, Anti-Chafing Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag that you'll be using to hold the goods that you'll be using to take care of your goods from Manscaped. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming, and now you can trust them with 4 million men worldwide with the whole shebang. Manscaped.com, 20% off when you use promo code Farzy and free shipping. 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code Farzy at manscaped.com. How about the amazing people at Freestone Farms CBD? FreestoneFarmsCBD.com. You like CBD? You use CBD? How about Freestone Farms CBD? The menu is something you'll absolutely have to check out with strains like their insane tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half Hindu.
Kush.
And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. They also grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State with all organic inputs and IPM. So there's nothing synthetic from farm to jar. And after harvest, they carefully preserve all their plant compounds with a perfect 3-month cure. Just one look or smell is enough to let you know it's CBD done right. Oh, and how would you like 20% off that too? Use promo code Farzy for 20% off at Freestone Farms CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. How about people of the Mojo app? Download the Mojo app to your phone right now. Let the games begin. Over 300 skilled players in the NFL, from quarterbacks to running backs to wide receivers to tight ends. Mojo's got it all. Each player's got a share price attached to them. Each player is a stock. They rise and fall throughout the year, not just in season, so there's no off season with the Mojo app. Available in New Jersey, anything that affects their play on the field affects their share price. Players you could trade, you could buy low, you could sell high. If you think there's a rookie about to break out onto the scene, maybe Taylor Heinicke is a guy you bought early, you can sell high, buy low, sell high. Maybe that's a guy that you're looking at right now on the Mojo app. Download the Mojo app to your phone. Available in New Jersey. Must be in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check out Mojo.com. How about PHL Sports Station, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. Chat check, everybody. See how you guys are doing today. Kevin, good morning. Sean, good morning. Molly, what's up, Molly? What's going on? RJ Lucas. Hey, Farzi. I know this game was a clunker, but do you still believe this team? Wait. Do you still believe this team don't play like it's the 60s? We refuse to dunk the basketball while we have a 6'7" and a 7'2" players on this team. Did we have a disagreement about how the style of play that this team has? This team doesn't play like they're in this. In this, like the 1960s? I think that, yeah, that's what you're referencing there. I'm not sure if you're referencing like old men, but yes, the 1960s. I haven't really thought about it. One thing that definitely jumps to mind, no pun intended, is actually a little bit of a change. Like usually, I don't see Joel Embiid with like springs in his feet. Like rarely, and Bob Cooney and I used to talk about this all the time. Rarely do you see him like get a rebound and like spring right back up and slam it down. Like you rarely see that. His game is all about finesse. And I think that's what you're talking about normally with the 1960s type of style. I've seen a little bit more when he's healthy this season of that spring in Joel Embiid. I'm still not saying he's a springy, spry player by any means. I've just seen a little bit more of it, which means I haven't seen zero of it compared to other years with Joel Embiid. But when it comes to just overall, there's not really a lot of attacking the basket with the Sixers for the big dunks and stuff like that. They definitely miss Tyrese Maxey in that regard. He'll go strong to the basket. Very rarely do you see Joel Embiid back a guy down to the block and like turn around and jam it. Usually it is that layup. So if that's what you're referencing, yes, I get that. I haven't really thought about comparing it to the 1960s, but I like the comparison. It's more 1940s, but Joel Embiid and the 76ers were down by as many 33 points last night, a game against the Cavaliers in the land. That's more Walter Winchell, 1945. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, all the ships at sea. In the European campaign. Anyway. All right. That's in my head and it shouldn't be. April. Good morning, April. RJ, we blow layups like it's windy in the arena. It's crazy. There's a hell of a gust going through the arena tonight. You're not wrong. I agree. Now that you're pointing it out to me as far as that's it, yeah, it's annoying. Mally, Sixers always look so excited to play. Mally, I think I read that with the right inflection. Sean Gillespie, 96%. Damn, sorry, you know what? I checked my notes, 94%. So they shot 94. The Cleveland Cavaliers shot 94%. From the floor in the second quarter of last night's loss. 113-85 for those that missed it. RJ Lucas, Sean, it's killing me. It's like we dunk one time a game. Tell me, what's the difference between the Sixers and the San Antonio Sparks? Not to knock on the WNBA basketball, but I'm just saying. Thank you for the disclaimer, RJ. I don't disagree. Ooh. Mally, I'm going to say it. Judge is not worth the money and the length of contract. Here's what I'm going to say about Aaron Judge. If somehow, indirectly, Aaron Judge helps the Phillies get Trey Turner, then, hey, San Francisco Giants, he's totally worth it. And then they don't sign or they're not in the bidding war driving the price up over $30 million a year for Trey Turner. And all of a sudden, the Phillies get him, but it looks like a bargain all of a sudden. April, yep, numbers are insane. I don't doubt that, and good morning to you. Mally, Sean, oh my God, his eye, please, please, please get better, AJ. You ever pop a blood vessel in your eye? Oh, it nasty. Yeah, I've done that. Thanks, massive allergy attacks. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I thought Mike and Mike, as someone that didn't get to listen to them a lot because I was obviously working at that time for another radio station, When I caught them, I felt like they had great chemistry with one another. I felt like their topics were always on point. And it was just every national radio show needs to take their format. If you're a national radio show, they're how you cover all the bases. They wrote the book on that. And I thought they did a great job. Any chance I had to catch them. Just started watching Speak on FS1 with Shady. Not a bad show. I mean, Acho, be extra a lot. Mally, yes. Emmanuel Acho, yeah. He's got a lot going on. It's Emmanuel Acho is there now, and I think his brother Sam is ESPN. I think, is that, do I have that right? I don't really watch Speak that much. I'll catch the highlights, if you will, if Shady says something like Jalen Hurts is the MVP, then I'll see that. But yeah. What are we looking at here? Don't worry about the Ray Fitzgerald. Good morning, Ray. Mihai Sanchez. Good morning, Ray Fitzgerald. Don't worry about the Sixers. Plenty of good college basketball games. More interesting, they play defense and team ball and hustle. Ray, I'm going to ask this. Are you my dad? Because if you're my dad, first off, there's no way my dad's name is Ray Fitzgerald. So it would be the perfect cover-up. But that's exactly what my dad says. I'm not watching the NBA. Like last night, I was talking to my dad, and he goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm watching the Sixers. And he goes, why? Like if I ever tell my dad I'm watching basketball, oh yeah, what's on? And I don't say Temple, right? He'll be like, what's on? Like, the Sixers are playing, Dad. They're like, why? That's like if I can do an impression of my dad with one word, it's why. Like that's anyway. But yeah, Temple won. They came back against LaSalle last night at the Palestra. That was pretty cool. Love seeing that. April. My top podcast again is Greenlight. No surprise there. You're right. No surprise, April. Yep. Since I'm lucky enough to catch the show live most of the time. Well, there you go. You like the live shows, don't you, April? And your pint of wine. Tevita! What's going on? Mark is mathing before 7 a.m. it was my computing in my brain. Oh, Ray Fitzgerald. Didn't we learn nothing last year with MVP Joel Embiid? It's all about championships. We caught up with this MVP. Ray, I'm going to tell you this right now. And I think we might have talked about this before. I don't think anyone at this point right now gives a damn about MVP awards for Joel Embiid. And I love that. Because I feel like Sixers fans, like real hardcore loyalists to the process Sixers fans, have gotten caught up in the individual awards. And I've, not that I'm ahead of anyone, but my emotions have been ahead of kind of where a lot of people have been with Joel Embiid and the whole process. First off, I was for the process in terms of giving it like 3 years to be terrible, accumulate assets, and then build from that. I don't believe in a blank check of time. Like Sam Hinkie's biggest fault was that he wanted supposedly 9 years to do this. I don't think so. All right. Nobody gets a blank check of time to turn over a productive product. All right. Nobody gets that. Show me you can build a winner. I gave it 3 years. I remember asking the people at the same time when I was on Sports Talk Radio and took a lot of calls and all that stuff. What's your average time that you'd give these people? Most people said 3 years. Fair enough. We were watching the Sixers in mediocrity. And now, as a result, we're still watching the Sixers in mediocrity when it comes to how they have taken second-round exits time after time after time. But in doing so, I believe they looked at the MVP award as some consolation prize, and you shouldn't look at it as that. There are no consolation prizes here. All right? There are no participation trophies. I want the Sixers to win a championship. Right now, I feel like most of the fan base is where I have been for a while, which is we went through the years of being terrible. We gave our investment of time to this franchise, to this organization. And in return, they have given us meaningful basketball. You have felt like, and the biggest difference post-process to pre-process is the fact that you actually feel like you could win. With Ben Simmons playing the way he was at the time, with Joel Embiid playing the way he was at that, with Jimmy Butler coming to town playing the way he was playing, you felt like you had at least had a chance to win a championship. With Andre Iguodala and the Iggy-led Sixers, you didn't feel, you felt like you were on with house money in the second round, game 7 of the playoffs against the Boston Celtics. maybe they make it happen and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, my God. This team, the expectation is they better make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, bounce out in the second round. Well, they better make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, bounce out in the second round. Well, they better make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Maxey's hurt. Embiid was hurt for a little bit. Harden was hurt for a long time. What are they going to do this year? Remains to be seen. But it's rough, man. It's rough. Bounce out of the first round of the playoffs in the bubble, if you remember that. Good God. Sixers don't have the right chemistry. This is what Ray's saying. Not going nowhere. Ew. Oh, that's nice, April. You're looking at the live shows. Oh, they put you in a better mood. That's good. That's nice. Watch the Boston Celtics, how they play. Yeah. Well, that's why the Boston Celtics. Not that I need a more reason to hate the Boston Celtics, but the fact that they didn't go through a process and they've made it to a finals. And in the process, bounced the Sixers out of the playoffs twice. Once in the bubble and then once in the Ben Simmons one-point game. Not that it was a one-point game. It was that Ben Simmons had 1 point in the game. Just want to make sure I'm clear on that. Yo. Anyway. Oh, wait, you're talking about Hurts? What's going on here? What are you talking about with Hurts? Oh, gotcha. Miss Cousy. But I still think you agree, though, about Joel Embiid's MVP. You're talking about MVPs when it comes to Jalen Hurts. Copy that. Understood. Appreciate everyone in the chat. You guys are great, as per usual. Let's get into the morning rush. Much of my Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. Sixers. Ray, I hear you. MVP for Hurts. Copy that. I would think you would also agree on not talking about MVP with Joel Embiid, though. If I'm not, I could be crazy. But I think we're on the same page there. Let me tell you, Sky Motorcars. SkyMotorcars.com brings us the morning rush. Eagles obviously still getting ready for the 1 o'clock kickoff with the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to that. Sixers, after their embarrassing 113-85 loss last night to the Cleveland Cavaliers, they are on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So that's where we're at. Flyers are going to try to do something that they haven't done in over a month. Try to win back-to-back games. They take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight in South Philadelphia, 7 o'clock puck drop, and there you go. Here's what we're going to close on, ladies and gentlemen. Being that it is December, it's officially the holiday season. It's officially Christmas season. So I reintroduce to you our amazing show, Christmas Penguin. Christmas is my favorite. You get the idea. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. That's the amazing Christmas Penguin of the Farzee Show. Jim Heider produced the program. Did a wonderful job as per usual. This is the Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzee Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Jason Avant joins the program tomorrow. We're going to talk about A.J. Brown going up against his favorite team. Former team. And Miss Guzzi. A.J. Brown going up against his former team. Jason Avant joined the show tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. See ya.